Morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at the fourth chapter, looking at verses 1 through 5, and speak a little bit about stewardship this morning. First verse reads, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy." Excuse me. "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before me, before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his condemnation from God." Father, this morning, we are delighted to be in your presence corporately. We walk with you daily. We talk with you daily. But it is another thing to come together and worship. Your word even says, do not give up the habit of worshiping together. And so I look at this as a special time that we have with you. Father, I thank you for those that you have been with this week in the hospital, and those who are recovering. I pray that you be with them this morning. In your name I pray, amen. Our text this morning is describing the necessary ingredients of good stewardship. It's being addressed to not only the ministers, but the lay person. And it says that we must be dependable and trustworthy if he or she is to please God and to be helpful to one another. The position of steward in big biblical days was an honored position. And one would have to, I think we're familiar with the story of Joseph in the Old Testament and how his brothers sold him into slavery and the whole deal of being imprisoned and then Potiphar's wife and all of that. But he was put in a position of stewardship. He was still a slave, if you will, a servant, but he was a steward. Stewardship is something much more than just giving an offering on Sundays. There's so much more to it than that. Being a good steward means bringing all you are and have in life to please our Heavenly Father and to please Him. We do not have the option of deciding whether or not we want to be stewards. We are. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become stewards. The question is whether we're going to be good stewards or not. There's something about giving. There's something about giving. Receiving is nice, but giving to me and to you, children of God, should mean so much more. Jesus was describing that fulfillment that comes. He speaks of that where Paul is speaking to the elders of Ephesus, and he shares with them in Acts 20, 35, he says, "In all things I have sworn that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive. There are several things that we can do to help us be good stewards. The first one being, we can give to God the first of every day. Give the first of every day. We begin the day with prayer, with gratitude of prayer and thanksgiving, thanking Him for praying for guidance and help. And I say this that you should, that I would want you to do it. I don't want this to be a legalistic thing or a religious thing, all right? It should be something that you would want to do. We are wise to spend time reading His Word, thinking about the great truths that the good Word at the beginning of the day. I don't know. For me, you know, I Nora gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start getting, and it's in His Word. 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning. I don't get up that early, but Nora does. I wake up a little bit later, all right? There's something about getting into the God's Word the first thing in the morning. I don't know. I kind of relate to like physical exercise, you know, going for a run, working out, going for a mile swim in the morning. You know, it's like, okay, I'm ready to start the day. That's the same thing that should happen with us when we get in His Word. We're refreshed. Like, okay, my day start off great. I've been in His Word. And He's with me. And not only His Word, there's devotionals. You know, I suggest that you have a devotional. God's Word is great. Don't get me wrong. But having a great devotional to go along daily, that, you know, have something else on that plate to chew on, you know what I'm saying? That's always good. And journal. Journal. Write down your thoughts. What was the Lord saying to you? How did you receive that? And so devotionals, you can get them anywhere. I mean, you can on your phone. I have mine. The Bible app, there's gobs of devotionals and Bible plans for men, women, and children. Right now, media, we have that also available to you. Scores of devotionals there. Get a devotional in your life and kind of, that's another weight in that weight room, all right? Another device, all right, to make you spiritually fit, all right? Secondly, we can give God the first day of the week. This culture is a little bit confused, I believe. We believe that the weekend starts from Friday evening and goes till Sunday evening. That's what most people think. But if actually it's Monday through Saturday, the weekend ends on Saturday evening. The first day of the week is Sunday. That's not the weekend. We kind of use up God's time there. This day is supposed to be His day, you know. Now I know that you'll do your research and we like, well, Sunday is not the seventh day, and you know, we kind of messed that up, the calendar. But all that to say, we should give the first day of the week to Him. First fruits. Mark 2:27 says, and He says to them, the Sabbath day was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We were created as an upward-looking creature and God intended that we not only that we worship on that day, but rest. Worship and rest. rest. I'm guilty of that. I don't rest. My bride gets on me all the time. You've got to rest. You've got to rest. You've got to find a Sabbath. And I know people are on different schedules and that. But we each need to have that. It's for our well-being that we do that, that we worship and rest. It seems like today's culture, sometimes we push the ox into the ditch, you know what I'm talking about? And then rescue it on the day of worship. we fill that day with something only to have to work on that day. Worship and rest. Give him the first day of the week. We can give him the first portion of our income, our paycheck, our earnings. Some people would say, oh, here he goes. Here we go. The pastor talking about giving and all of that. And I will say, yes, I'm not going to shy away from that. But let me tell you this. God is not a pauper. He's not a beggar. He doesn't need your coin. He would think that you would want to give that to him. He's not seeking that by you giving, you would become impoverished or be deprived of the things that you need. That our God is not like that. We shouldn't be shocked to discover that our tithes and offerings do not enrich our God, our Creator. He's not saying, oh, look at the money, make it rain, you know. He's not, no. He's not like that. None of those monies that, he's like, you're not going to make me any richer. You're not. I created this rock. I created you. When we are faithful, bringing our tithes and offerings to the Lord, we are accepting him as owner of all, of everything. Everything belongs to him. I think because people are insecure in the face of physical needs, people start to hoard to provide for days of insecurity. We need to find a balance between working for and trusting God for our needs. Now, this is what I'm saying, all right? Just don't say, well, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to, the Lord's going to give me something. I'm depending on him to bring me the bacon, you know. Yeah, this electric bill, hey, come on, you know. There's a medium there. All right. He's going to take care of you. When we become givers, we come like our God, the giver. Our God has never held back anything. Not one thing. Not even his one and only son. We see that Jesus didn't hold back anything. Listening to the Father, he said, okay. I'm going to die on the cross for you and for you. We never discover the highest of joy of living until we are like our Heavenly Father and our Savior who gave. Paul declares that God loves a cheerful giver. And God doesn't want you to give your coin begrudgingly. He really doesn't want that coin. He wants you to say, here you go. Here you go. Father, this is yours. I'm willing to give something. I'm willing to give it all.
here you go. And when we do that, he's like saying, that's my kid. You know, when your kid does something good, I mean really good, like in public, you know, you're like, yep, that's my kid. Look at him. Look at her. Yep, that's my kid. Except for when they're not doing something good, you're like, yeah, that's your kid. Not my kid. My kid was doing something great. But just as we adore, we love our kids when they do something great like that, we're so proud of them, so is our Heavenly Father when we emulate Him. We can give God first consideration in every decision that we make. We all face decisions every day. These decisions affect our family, our friends, people we work with. The Bible teaches us that the natural man doesn't think of thoughts of God, right? We don't think like Him. We make decisions on how we can profit from it. How can we get something out of this? Decisions are often made on the basis of pain that we have experienced from the past. We're like, oh, I don't ever want that to happen again. Or you've been burned, and you make a decision based off that one time. Maybe, let me just be real here. Maybe your family member was hurt by another group of people. You're like, I don't trust those people anymore. We make decisions when we've been hurt. And we say, hey, I'm tired of this. I quit. I hurt. That's not the best time to make decisions. Some of us make decisions based on traditions and customs. We seek to do which has been done in the past, and sometimes this is anything but good, right? You're like, well, why are we doing it this way? Well, that's the way we've always done it. I think for that, that's the words that a pastor hates to hear when they're walking into a new parish. You're like, well, why don't we do it like this? Well, no, pastor, we've always done it that way. Right? Well, you've heard the illustration of why you always, you know, Thanksgiving, why you always cut the ends of the ham off? You know, why you always cut it off? Well, you cut that end off. I don't know. That's the way my mom did it. Mom, you know, why did you cut the ends of the ham off before you put it in the oven? Well, that's the way my mom told me. I gotta ask the grandma, why do you always cut the ends of the ham off? She said, because the pot was too small, so I always had to cut the ends off to fit it in there, right? Buy a bigger pot. Or I'm just saying, do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand? Sometimes we just need to change things up. Make a decision that's not the traditional. Not do things the way we always do things. I tell you what I saw this morning that just like brought a smile to my face, because you don't always see it. As I'm seeing little Phoebe in the back worshiping there. Just, I'm like, right on. Right on. She doesn't feel like, oh, I can't do that. Because that's the way we always done things. We can't.
My goodness.
When we make decisions, and I guess maybe this is the easiest one, and I hate to be, I'm not trying to be, but you know the bracelet that everyone was wearing for a long time? What would Jesus do? When you make a decision, make that decision based on looking through his lens. What would Jesus do? I know what you want to do. Maybe somebody cut you off and you're like, oh! Maybe someone has upset you. Would Jesus do that? Would he go, ah? No, he wouldn't do that. He'd just say, you're done. No, I would. No, okay. View things for the lens of our Heavenly Father. Do things through the lens of Jesus Christ. Just think about that decision. We can trust the Holy Spirit to help us with those complex issues when we face them. When you let the Holy Spirit guide us. When you let Him, He'll guide you and you'll listen. And you'll know the decision that you're to make. Not one based off tradition. Not one based off of a hurt. But the ones based on the one that the Spirit, Holy Spirit would give you. Say, hey, listen. Listen to me. We can give God we can give God first place in our hearts. We read in the Gospel of Matthew 22:37, we find that the great commandment calls us to do what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Number one commandment. God furthermore tells us that we are to love. On verse 39, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. We must love ourselves properly to know how to love our neighbor. We got to love us first. Right? When we're loving folks, those of us who are married, we love our Heavenly Father, and then we love our mates, and then we love our children, and then everybody else, in that order. Our Heavenly Father, our mates, and our children, and then everybody else. The abundant life is within the reach of each and every one of us if we truly will be good stewards of what God has placed in our hands. Placed in our hands things to take care of. Taking care of our family. Taking care of the church family. So in doing that, just remember these things. Please, one, start your day each day with Him. Start each week. Secondly, start the first of the week with Him. Give of what He has blessed you with. I have a witness. I always give the first of my paycheck. always. When I do, I won't fall short. Give. Give God first consideration in every decision you make. And lastly, and maybe first, I think if you place Him first in your life, everything else will fall into place. Because once you make Him first in your life, then you'll want to be in His Word. Then you'll want to give Him the first day of your week. You'll want to give of your earnings. You'll want to seek Him out for those decisions that you're going to be making. Amen. Heavenly Father, we